The Gemara Masechta Brachos Daf Yoreh Amud Beis teaches us. Vamar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Mishum Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Ma'idik Siv Lo'soich Lo'al Adam. The Torah teaches us the words Lo'soich Lo'al Adam. We learn from this. He teaches us Lo'soich Lo Koydim Shedispal Lo'al Dimchem. That one may not eat before he davens. And as the Rashba explains, Lo'soich Lo Koydim Shedispal Lo'al Dimchem, a person has to set priorities in life. And a person has to recognize that domai, his dam, his boss of a dam, his gashmias, is not what is important in life. Rather, what is important in life is ruchnias. And therefore, when a person gets up in the morning, the first thing he should do is declare by davening that what is most important is that he's davening to Hashem, recognizing that our job in this world is to be Avdei Hashem. And he therefore goes on to explain, for otherwise, if we're going to allow the person to first eat and then daven, he may not recognize what is important. But then continues the Gemara, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Amar Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina, Mishum, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, whoever eats and drinks and then davens, all of our costs of Omer, regarding this individual, does the Torah say, he threw me, don't say after his back, after his arrogance. First this person acts arrogantly by eating and drinking, and then kibbal alav al machas shemayim. So as we learn this Gemara, we have an obvious question. The obvious question is that the Gemara begins with the words Lo'soich Lo'al Adam, and very powerful words that teach us the Isser to eat before we daven. According to some Rishonim, it's an Isser D'oraisa to eat before one davens. And then the Gemara goes on to teach us another Pasuk, like, in fact, as we said, it's a machloikus rishonim if eating before davening is nesa d'oraisa. The mefarshim actually connect this machloikus to another machloikus, and that is the question: if davening, if the chiyuv of tefillah is a chiyuv d'oraisa, if we say that it's a chiyuv d'oraisa, so then the isser of lo'soich lo'al adam represents an isser d'oraisa, that not only must we daven, but we may not eat before we daven. The Rabbeinu Yoina and other Rishonim, however, say that lo'soich lo'al adam is only an isser d'rabbanan, for according to them, the chiyuv of davening is only a chiyuv d'rabbanan. So there can't be a pasuk of Lo'soich Lo'al Adam, which will teach us a din d'oraisa on tefillah, where the chiyuv of tefillah isn't a chiyuv d'oraisa at all. Although the Mefarshim do go on to explain that even if we'll say that Lo'soich Lo'al Adam is an issa d'oraisa, it will not have a chiyuv malchus, because it will be in the category of a lav shebeklolos. We know that a lav shebeklolos is a lav that represents a number of isurim, that the halacha, the Gemara teaches us, that there is no chiv malchus in such a lav. And this pasuk certainly comes to teach us a number of other rules. One rule is that on the day that Bezdin declares that someone is chayv misa and they're not allowed to eat, another halacha that may be learned from this pasuk is that one may not eat Aver Menachai. Another lima that may come from this pasuk of Lo'soich Lo'al Adam is that even after an animal or bird are properly slaughtered, one has to be careful not to eat from them as long as they're still mefarchis, as long as they're still convulsing, and therefore it will remain a lav shebeklolos. But our question still remains. We have the pasuk of Lo'soich Lo'al Adam. Certainly if we hold it's Issa D'Raisa, and even if we hold it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan, why does the Pasuk have to continue Gemara have to continue teaching us the pasuk of Vaichli Oisi Hishlachti Ach Gavecha Atikri Gavecha El Gayecha. We already learned the slimut from the first pasuk. So there are a number of approaches in the Mefarshim how to deal with this issue, and by dealing with this issue, we will also be able to come to certain important halacha lemaisa. But before we go further, there's actually another question to be asked, and that is that isn't there in general a halacha that once the time for a mitzvah arrives, we're obligated to do that mitzvah, and we may not eat, nor may we drink once or do anything once the time for the mitzvah comes? So why do we need any pasuk like Soich L'Adam, Oisi Shlachti Achar Gavecha, if there's a general isser that one may not do anything once this man for a mitzvah comes? So there are mefarshim that explain that the pasuk of Leisoichu al Adam is coming to teach us the halacha that one may not eat before he davens, and that the other pasuk is coming to teach us the din of La'achash Nizgazeh Kiblov Omach Shemayim. That's coming to teach us that one may not say Kriya Shema before one may not eat before he says Kriya Shema. And that there are two separate halachas. There's a halacha regarding Kriya Shema, and there's a halacha regarding Tefillah. And in fact, this explanation could be well borne out. Because if we look at the pasuk of Oisi Hishlachti Achar Gavecha, which is a pasuk in Melachim Aleph, Perik Yodalid, Pasuk Tes, the pasuk there speaks about the situation where Yeravam's son, Avia, was ill, and Yeravam sends his wife, Tachiyah Hanavi, to ask what will be his fate. And the Navi responds with very harsh words. And the pasuk says, the Navi says, V'teira lasis k'kol ha'shayu l'fanecha. He acted improperly like the kings before him. V'telech v'tas l'cha elahim acherim. He made idols. U'maseichos l'chiseini. V'oisi hishlach ta'ach gavecha. The Navi is telling Yeravam's wife, your husband made Avodah Zarah. How do you expect HaKadosh Baruch Hu to think about him? So we see that pasuk is specifically referring to Avodah Zarah. And that's why this pasuk could serve as a source to teach us that before one says Kriya Shema, he may not daven. Then there's another din. And that's a din that one may not eat before tefillah. And therefore, the halacha, and the Paiskim say this, that the halacha is if one gets up and he has to eat before he davens, and we'll discuss this more later, he should say Shema, and he should also say a tefillah. However, the Paiskim make a number of interesting observations. If the person is saying Shema, and it's already after the Zman that tefillin may be put on, so he should put on tefillin and say Shema properly. If, however, it's not yet the Zman tefillin, or he doesn't have tefillin, or whatever reason he won't be wearing tefillin yet, he should say Shema, and the place can make an observation. He should make a tenai. His tenai is, I'm saying Shema, because we have the Gemara that we just learned, that one may not eat before he says Shema, but I don't want to be Mekayim the mitzvahs Kriya Shema, because mitzvahs Kriya Shema is preferably performed wearing the tefillin, saying the brachas, and therefore I'm only saying Shema because of this Gemara. Furthermore, because of the other halacha that we learned, lo soichlu ach tespalu al dimchem, the halacha is he should daven something before he eats. The minute the Mishnah Berurah says is to say brachas, the Berachas HaTorah and the Brachas. However, I saw from Shlomo Zalman that isn't a fulfillment of Tefillah. The fulfillment of Tefillah is the obligation to say a Bakasha, to ask Hashem. Brachas don't necessarily represent a Bakasha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, preferably, what should be done, he says, is to say a pasuk that represents one asking Hashem for something. He says we should say the pasuk, Haf Hashem Heyei Oizoli, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us, a pasuk that represents a bakasha. That should be said, and that is the halacha that one may not eat before tefillah. And actually, the Paiskim say, this halacha that we're learning now is a new din, that one may not eat before davening, have a number of repercussions. What would be the halacha if someone didn't daven shachris, and he's going to daven mincha twice? So the first tefillah he's going to be saying on today is mincha. So even though, as we're going to soon discuss, the halacha is for mincha, of eating before mincha, and the halacha for eating before shachris are very different. Here, since mincha is the first tefillah of the day, and as we quoted the Rashba, what is pshat of lo yisoich lal adam? That the first thing we do in our day is declare, before we eat, is declare that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our God. So therefore, says the Rashba, says the halacha would be that he wouldn't be allowed to eat before mincha that day. Not only that, but let's say Rachmanu Tzlan, someone is an oinin, and the halacha is that an oinin may not daven. So let's say he was an oinin by shachris, but he's no longer an oinin when the zman mincha comes. So that oinin, even though he maybe didn't eat, and maybe he has to eat the sudas havra, should not eat his sudas havra if the zman mincha came, because you're not allowed to eat before you daven, and now he's obligated to daven. Furthermore, the Paiskim say, let's say someone is davening shachris twice because he missed ma'ariv. That the halacha is, he says two times shmoneh esrei by shachris. The poskim say he may not eat until he davens both shmoneh esrei. The shalos tshuvos eretz tzvi has an interesting discussion. Let's say someone had made an error in his shmoneh esrei. That the halacha is, if you make an error in Shmoneh Esrei, it was a type of error for which one would have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. So he says that such an individual that made such an... So now the question is, before the second Shmoneh Esrei may he eat? And the question, he says, really depends on how does the halacha look at a person who davened Shmoneh Esrei and made a mistake. Does the halacha look at such an individual as if the first Shmoneh Esrei wasn't at all a Shmoneh Esrei, he didn't daven at all? If such is the case, then the halacha would be he would have to daven again Shmoneh Esrei before he was allowed to eat. If, however, the halacha views that individual, yes, he davened Shmoneh Esrei, but he made a mistake in the Shmoneh Esrei, and because he made a mistake in the Shmoneh Esrei, he has to repeat it, but the first Shmoneh Esrei at least is considered said, then perhaps the halacha would be that he wouldn't have, he would be allowed to eat before he says the second Shmoneh Esrei. That is one approach and how to understand why the Gemara had to bring two psukim. But there's another approach that the Mefarshim suggest. The pasuk of Lo'soichu al Adam is referring to Tefillah Shachris. And that pasuk is teaching us that before we daven Shachris, Lo'soichu al Adam. And then the other pasuk is referring to the other tefillos. And by the other tefillos, there's another halacha of Oisi Hishlachti Ach Gavecha. And again, if we refer back to the Rashba that we began with, where the Rashba says that one is supposed to daven at the beginning of the day, because to declare that what's important to him is not the dam, but the Kadosh Baruch Hu, that sets Shachris as different than all the other tefillos, and therefore Shachris would have its own rules. And therefore, we could well understand the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Arachayim Simen Pei Tes Sif Hei says, "Vim hischal lechol kodem alois ha-shachar." That means one got up so early in the morning that it's not yet the alois, and he began to eat, and now the alois comes. So the first opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is tzarch lahafsi. He has to stop to daven. And the Mishnah Berura immediately points out that even though the halacha is by mincha, that if one began eating before a half an hour before the zman mincha, and then the Zman Mincha comes, provided that he will be able to daven Mincha, he may continue eating. Here, the halacha is different. Here, the halacha, according to the first opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, is tzarech lahafsik, that he has to stop. And it's interesting to point out that most achroinim paskin, like the first opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, that even if he started beheter, even if he started the meal in a time that he was allowed to, once the Zman Shachris comes, he must stop. Why? Because Lo'soichel al Adam. There's a special rule said regarding Tefillah Shachris of Lo'soichel al Adam that he has to stop. By Mincha, that's a different halacha altogether. Now we could also answer the other question that we began our shiur with. We asked at the beginning of our shiur, what is the halacha if someone began Tefillah, what is the halacha? Isn't this different? Why is this different? Any different than the halacha that we've discussed so many times, that one may not do anything once the time of a mitzvah comes? Because the halacha is that although there is such a rule, there are qualifications to that rule. We ourselves have discussed that the halacha is that one may not do anything once the Zman Ma'ariv, once the Zman Krishma Shel Arvis comes. Yet the halacha is that if someone has a shomer reminding him, then he could eat supper and then go daven ma'ariv. Or we learned that if he's doing something that's certainly going to end, it's an activity that's going to end in due time, so there's no concern that he's going to not become so preoccupied that he'll miss the tefillah or he'll miss the mitzvah, then the halacha is he's allowed to continue. That is a halacha by all other mitzvahs. But here, the Gemara is teaching us there's a new halacha. The halacha of Lo'soichel al Adam, Lo'soichel al Shetispalu al Dimchem. And if that's the case, then the halacha is one may not eat, even though he began eating in the right time, and even if there's no concern that by eating or drinking he'll become, he'll extend, and he'll still be able to do the mitzvah, he still may not eat or drink. But the third explanation given to the reason the Gemara brings these two psukim is the reason that seems to be the reason that the Shulchan Aruch and most Paiskim follow. And that is, the reason is this second pasuk of Al Tikri Gavecha Ela Gayecha is actually an interpretation of the first pasuk of Lo'soichel al Adam. In other words, Lo'soichel al Adam comes to teach us that one may not eat before he davens. What may he not eat? Why may he not eat? And by understanding why he may not eat, we'll understand when he may and what he may, is because it represents La'ach Voisi Shlacht Ach Gavecho Atikri Gavecho El Gaecho La'ach Shnizgaze Kibel of Omach Shemayim. And the Rashba asks a Gevaldige Kasha. He says, normally, when the Gemara uses the words Al Tikri, it means that the Gemara is going to deviate from the Pshat in the Pasuk and teach us a whole new, from the simple Pshat in the Pasuk, and teach us a whole new Pshat. Over here, we don't find any deviation, asked the Rashba. Over here, Al Tikri Gavecho or Gayecho, whether you say Al Tikri Gavecho after he turned his back, or after he's arrogant, that's all the same. That a person's supposed to daven first. What's the Pasuk coming to teach us? What's the Gemara coming to teach us with this Al Tikri? Says the Rashba. The Gemara is coming to teach us the reason. What's the reason that one may not eat before he davens? Because Gayecho, it represents arrogance. And since it represents arrogance, one shouldn't eat before the davening. And that's what the Al Tikri is not coming to teach us, a different pshat in the Pasuk, but it's come to teach us the meaning of the Pasuk, says the Rashba. The meaning of the Pasuk is that Gayecho, eating before you daven, represents arrogance. And therefore, we could understand a machloikis rishonim. The Rambam, in Perek Vav, Halacha Dalet of Hilchas Tefillah, says that osa litoin, the one may not eat and even take the slightest drink before he davens. And the way many explain what the Rambam is coming to teach us is, the words of the Rambam are, that what's the Rambam explaining? That the Gemara began with like soichlu al adam, that one may not eat before he davens. But that refers to achilo, ti'imo, taking a taste, or taking a slight drink, would therefore be permitted. Tells us the pasuk, the second pasuk comes to teach us, this is the way the Aruch HaShulchan learns pshat in the Rambam, that no, not only is achilo asur, but even ti'imo, even the slightest drink, is asur as well. It's interesting to note, however, that Rav Avadya Yosef, in Shail Sechuvis Yabia Oimer, Chelik Dalid Simen Yud Aleph, has a long discussion on how to understand pshat in the Rambam. And he quotes many who say that the Rambam will agree with the opinion of most Rishonim, and that's the opinion clearly that the Shulchan Aruch follows, that only eating, which represents an arrogance to eat before davening, is asur, but something which wouldn't represent geyur, something that wouldn't represent a lack of respect, would be permitted. And therefore the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Pei Tes, Sif Gimel, Paskins, V'loy lecha, v'loy lishtois, one may not eat or drink before davening, avamayim mutter, you can take a drink of water, lishtois kodim tefillah, bein b'chayil, whether it's during the week, bein b'shabbos v'yontif, whether on Shabbos v'yontif. You're allowed to take a drink before davening, and the reason is, because the Gemara explained, why is there a din of loy soichla l'adam? The reason of loy soichla l'adam is limited because it represents arrogance, it represents a lack of respect, and a small drink doesn't represent that. Why does the Shulchan Aruch single out Shabbos and Yontif? So explain the Mefarshim. Because since on Shabbos and Yontif there's a chi of Kiddush, and one may not eat before making Kiddush, therefore we would think that on Shabbos, even if during the week we're allowed to take a drink before davening, Shabbos for Yontif, where we have an obligation to make Kiddush, and we can't make Kiddush yet, we haven't davened yet, we shouldn't be able to take a drink. That's why the Shulchan Aruch paskins that the Chiv of Kiddush only comes after davening, after Shachris, and therefore, since there's no Chiv Kiddush yet, there's no difference between Shabbos and Yontif and the rest of the week. However, say the Paiskim, that's only before Shachris. There is no Chiyuv Kiddush before one has davened Shachris. But let's say somebody has davened Shachris already and is before Musaf. At that point, there already is a Chiyuv of Kiddush. So even if we don't have a problem of Le'soichu Al-Adam, it'll be a situation that we don't have that issue, but we still will have an issue of Kiddush that one can't eat or drink before making Kiddush once he's already davened Shachris. The Mishnah Brura and many other Paiskim have here a discussion. What is the status of drinking a coffee or a tea before davening? And the Mishnah Brura says that one may drink a coffee before davening. It's certainly in the same category, he says, what the Shulchan Aruch says, Amayim mutar lishtos kodem tefila. He seems to also say that you could put milk into your coffee, because again, the Mishnah Brura's approach is that that's not considered doing something that's lack of respect. He's drinking a coffee, and in fact, some Paiskim suggest that if drinking a coffee helps a person daven better, concentrate better, then all the more so we should daven. Of course, the Mishnah Brura says that drinking coffee means drinking a coffee alone. It doesn't mean drinking coffee as part of a whole group sitting around and drinking coffee, because that's certainly a violation of what we're learning, that one may not eat or drink before he davens. The Mishnah Brura goes on to discuss, what about putting sugar into one's coffee? And the Mishnah Brura says that It's a question. And therefore, he quotes the Ratvaz that what one should do regarding putting sugar into the coffee is he shouldn't pour sugar into the coffee. That already may be too much of a drink. What he should do is hold the sugar in his hand, hold the sugar cube in his hand, or put it into his mouth and drink that way. It's interesting, however, to point out that the Das Torah and the Marsham takes a much more lenient approach both to milk and to sugar. He seems to take the approach that in the time of the Mishnah Berurah, or where the Mishnah Berurah lived, Rav Tzchaim, sugar was a real luxury, and therefore putting sugar into your coffee was a real concern. However, he says that in other places, and certainly nowadays, putting some sugar into one's coffee or other sweetener is certainly not considered a luxury, and therefore he says one has no problem putting sugar into the coffee. Interestingly to note, the Shar Mitzion Bahalacha says that one doing what the Mishnah Berurah says is, should not be done. He says, since putting sugar into coffee, pouring some sugar into a coffee is not a big deal, but holding a sugar cube in your hand, that's not something which is typically done. So on the contrary, he says, only put sugar into the coffee and don't put sugar cube into the hand. Similarly, I saw Rav Avadya Yosef in that tshuva discusses a situation where someone is a chazan and he drinks or he ingests raw eggs or other liquids before he davens in order that he should be able to daven better. He too would be allowed to do that, that he suggests. Why? Because he's not doing it because he's taking a meal or showing a disrespect to the tefillah. On the contrary, he's showing respect to the tefillah. Another Shaila Rav Avadya Yosef discusses is, let's say someone who, as we're learning now, should not have eaten before he davens, accidentally took some food into his hand and made a bracha, a birchas hanenan on it, and then realized, oi, how did I make this bracha? I'm supposed to be davening first. So he says, of course he should eat a little, that his bracha should not be a bracha levatala. Because here, his eating is not showing a disrespect, chas v'shalom. On the contrary, his eating is showing great respect. His eating is showing that he cares about the tefillah and he cares about Hashem and he doesn't want to say a bracha levatala. Similarly, I saw tshuva from the Shailos HaTshuvos, Hisayrus HaTshuva, that let's say one is conducting his Seder and it's very late and it's already, he's up to the fourth cup of wine by the Seder, and it's already after the Alois HaShachar. And we're learning now that you're not allowed to eat or drink after the Alois HaShachar. He's going to be allowed to drink and make a bracha on that fourth cup of wine. Because again, he's not drinking because he wants to sit down and eat a meal and start drinking before davening. On the contrary, he's drinking the fourth cup of wine from the Dal Kaisis, showing such great respect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and thanking him for the nisim of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And then the Shulchan Aruch in that sif continues to say, "V'kein oichel mashkin l'refuah mutter." If somebody eats or drinks something which is for refuah, is mutter. So certainly the Paiskim say if a person must take a medicine because he's not well, that's not what the Shulchan Aruch is speaking about. The Shulchan Aruch is referring to an individual who's not a chayil shiyesh bo sakana, but he's allowed to take medicine before davening. And as the Paiskim say, even if he's taking a medicine, and he could take the medicine as well after davening as before davening, but it's part of his routine. When he gets up in the morning, he takes that pill. Or he's an individual that doesn't, it's not even a medicine, it's just like a vitamin. Or still, since he's taking this medicine, not because he is interested in showing disrespect to the tefillah, it's a medicine, that's why it's mutter. But then the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Dalit continues to teach us, Hatzamei v'harov, somebody who's thirsty or hungry, Harein b'chlal ha'cholim, they're considered like sick individuals, if he could concentrate, he should daven without eating. If he can't concentrate, if he wants, he should not daven until he eats, v'yishta, and drinks. So it's interesting to point out that the Beis Yosef says that this is not such a simple halacha. Because on our very same omid that we're learning this Gemara, we also learned the halacha that a chosin is potter from Krishma. And even though we're learning the halacha that chassan is potter from Krishma, we don't exempt chassanim from Krishma, because the halacha is that we don't have so much kavana any time that we should say that this chassan now, he doesn't have kavana, and other times he has kavana. Similarly here, what are we saying, says the Beis Yosef? He needs to eat and drink in order that he should be able to concentrate. And then when he eats and drinks, do we really daven with such great kavana? However, the Shulchan Aruch does say that one may eat and drink if his intention is to just so he should be able to daven. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach says that he should perhaps eat less than a kezayis at a time, and less than kedai achilas pras at a time. Because as we began the shir, asa lechol, we want to avoid eating before davening, and halachically, eating is only when you eat a kezayis b'chdei achilas pras. So if you don't eat a kezayis b'chdei achilas pras, that isn't in the category of achila, which we want to try to avoid. Certainly, I saw Reb Chaim Kanievsky says that one should not eat any more than he's obligated to, because his whole heter of eating is only that he could be able to daven. So you should only eat as much as you need to. And it's interesting to point out that the Bir Halacha and the Ber Hetev both say the following. And I'll read the words. Kasa achroimen. The ish cholish. Sheni yochel ahamel al nafshay. At eish shigoyim mat sibet filosom. If you have a person who's weak and he can't wait till finishing davening, the tzibah finishes davening. This comes up particularly in a community where all the minyanim for shachris on Shabbos for yontif are late. Toiv yoysel hatalay shispalal atzmai. It's better he should daven b'yichidus b'beisa b'biker at home in the morning. V'yoychumat, and then eat because he needs to eat. V'achkach yelch l'beisa knesses, and only after davening b'yichidus and eating what he needed to eat, should he go to shul, l'shmoye kadosh u'barchu, t'esh kadosh u'barchu v'shah divrei kedusha, and other divrei kedusha, that is preferable, says the Bir Halacha, m'shiyoichel koydem ha'tfila, then he should eat before davening, v'yelich l'beis ha'knesses l'spalel ha'matzibar. And the Bir Hetev, as well as I said, quotes this, and I didn't really see anyone should disagree. And they say it's better to daven b'yichidus, and then go to eat, and then go to shul, than to eat and daven afterwards. However, it's also interesting to point out that there's another opinion to this entire discussion. And that is the opinion of the Mukubalim. And they say, Lo'soichu al adam, means that when a person goes to sleep at night, so we know that sleep is a mild form of Misa. And that a person, when he gets up, is, so to speak, recreating himself. Alakai neshama shenasatabi. Every morning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us back our neshama. B'yotcha afkid ruchi. And therefore, according to the Mekabalim, the halacha is that if one goes to sleep and he gets up, even if he gets up many hours, he goes to sleep early and he gets up very early, and it's long before the Amud HaShachar, and it's long before the Zman Tefillah, according to them, one is not allowed to eat before davening. Certainly the Paiskim say that this is only Api Kabbalah, and one, if he can't be Machmer, if he needs to take a drink, or even if he needs to eat something, he should. Where this question comes up most often is on a fast day. Most fast days, besides Yom Kippur and Tisha B'Av, begin in the morning. So people go to sleep, and they get up early in the morning, and they eat before the Alois HaShachar. According to the Mekabalim, even if one had a mind when he went to sleep that he's going to do so, it shouldn't be done. Because they hold that once you've gone to sleep, you shouldn't eat until you daven. As certainly, even if we don't follow the minhag of the Mekabalim, and we do eat till the Alois HaShachar, the halacha, as we said earlier, is once it's a half an hour before the Alois HaShachar, one is not allowed to eat a meal. That's the halacha by every tefillah, even by mincha, and certainly by shachris. And therefore, let's say the Alois HaShachar is 6 a.m. and it's a fast day, and one wants to get up to eat before 6 a.m., he has to be careful what he's allowed to eat once it's past 5:30. And we discussed it may even be Shazmanius, so it could be even longer in the summer. Because the halacha is that a half an hour before this Zman Tefillah, we're not allowed to eat a meal. Certainly a drink is mutter, fruits and vegetables are mutter. The question that comes up is on bread washing would be a very strong shaila. And therefore, if one's getting up for a fast day to eat, once it's already a half, if he's only getting up within a half an hour before the halacha, he should not wash the bread. Mezainis, most paiskim are lenient. There are those paiskim that are machmer. Actually, this opinion of the Mekubalim may be understood with the way we began our shiur. We began our shiur with a question. Why does the Gemara have to quote two reasons? L'soich la'adam, and the other pasuk, Oisi hishlachti acha gavecha. So the shal s'chuvus l'hoiris nosen, and chelik aleph, simen hei, says because they're two separate dinim. There's a din in the achila, and there's a din in the tefila. There's a din that one may not eat, like soichlu, that there's a din that one may not eat once this man tefila arrives before one's davening. There's another din that one may not daven after eating. What kind of a davening is that if you've eaten first? So now we understand why we need two psukim. One pasuk is teaching us that you may not eat, and one pasuk is describing that the tefillah that takes place after eating is an inappropriate tefillah. If that's pshat in the Gemara, so then even without the mekubalim, the posh pshat in the Gemara is that one may not eat after that. The tefillah that takes place after eating is not the kind of tefillah we want to daven, because we want to daven a tefillah that represents that we show our betochen and that our attitude and our priority in life is our tefillah.